Just so that you know, I am recording this talk. Here is me recording this talk. This is my idea of a learning object, by the way. It doesn't really look like a learning object the way IMS or SCORM or whomever define them, but basically this is the audio recording, and I'll make this available on my website after the talk so that anybody who wants to come back and listen to it again can do so. And it's fair warning for you, don't say anything that you don't want the entire world to hear, because it will be recorded. I just like to tell people before they say the thing they really shouldn't have said. I want to talk about learning design. I'm going to talk about learning design a little bit more generally than about learning design specifically and about LAM specifically. The object of the talk is to talk about what learning design could be. And so my process will be to talk ever so briefly about where learning design is now, and then to proceed through where learning design will go. I should ask, is it all right, is this presentation with me sitting in this chair okay for everyone? Sometimes people expect the podium, but everybody can see me and hear me all right? Excellent. So learning design now, and I thought you've probably all seen this, but learning design now is something like this, right? And here's the intro to LAMS. Every time I look at this, I want the cursor to go faster, and I'm going, please, faster, anyhow. But learning design now is creating things in a sequence, creating activities, dragging the activities into the sequence, and then the learners come and they do these activities in the sequence. The principle here is that in learning design, first you do one thing, then you do another thing, then you do another thing. And of course, the more recent developments, both in software and also in the design of learning design specifications, such as the IMS learning design specification, is we're not just moving in a simple straight line, but now we also have branching. And James and I and others talked about loops yesterday. And so, you know, there's a parallel here, and this parallel is going to be important. A parallel between learning design and software design. And the early days of software design looked a lot like this as well. And indeed, one of the things that LAMS reminds me of is the early integrated development environment for software. And you would have a function, and maybe a decision tree, and maybe a loop. And the idea was that a program was the execution of a series of instructions or a series of steps. And similarly, learning design is, in a certain way, the execution of a series of functions or a series of steps. That's one aspect of where learning design is. The other aspect that I note is that learning design consists of a certain set of standard activities, the standard activities being things like, for example, the presentation of some content, or for example, a chat room, or for example, a discussion list. The sorts of things that we've become used to seeing in the presentation of online learning through a learning management system. And I look at learning design and I look at the activities that are on the side, and I wonder, where's the thing that says fly an airplane, or where's the thing that says blow something up, or whatever. The choices, it's like there's this expectation in learning that there's a certain set of activities which are learning activities, and then everything else is, frivolous or something. That I don't mean to put words into his mouth, but you get the idea, right? So the other aspect of learning design and where learning design is today is what might be called a bias toward instructivism. And what this is the idea that what learning is basically is a process of teaching. The idea being that there is somebody who will lead you, the student, or a group of students through this predefined path. And there's this bias toward presentation, where the idea is that the instructor or the leader or the facilitator is the one who has the knowledge, and that the learning process is basically a presentation of some sort. Now, even if there are group activities, and of course there are group activities that are designed in labs, and of course there are group activities that take place in a traditional classroom, but they're group activities that are shaped, defined, or in some way scaffolded by an instructor or by an authority. And there was we had a lot of discussion yesterday about how groups form and what would happen if there wasn't a person there to form the group. And the bias in learning design is that you need to orchestrate this. You need to manage the creation of these groups. Learning management also exhibits, in my view, a bias toward the institution, or a bias in the institution, and the idea of a learning provider. This is more of a commentary on learning management systems generally, and the approach that we have toward learning as instantiated in learning management systems, than it is a commentary on LAMS specifically. Oh, that was interesting. I wonder what that was. That wasn't just me, right? Oh, okay. I'm always sufficiently suspicious of my own mental process that when I suddenly hear music, I figure it's a 50-50 chance it's all in my head. Anyhow, the idea here is that learning management is structured in such a way that a learner, a student, will go to a learning provider, and then the learning provider will provide the service of teaching. And the idea here is that you go to the one place and you form a group that is specific to that institution. We call those groups classes. And you belong to a class, that class stays within the institution, and the process that you go through is basically a process of working within the institutional software with institutional resources, and there's very little extension to the outside world. What has happened more recently has been a reaction to that model of instructional design and instructional delivery, and it has come under several names or under several headers recently. People have been calling it edupunk, which is kind of an interesting turn of events. Not everybody likes the term edupunk, and I think I don't mind punk. I mean, look at me, right? So punk doesn't bother me at all. But I'm just as comfortable with more traditional terminology such as e-learning 2.0. E-learning 2.0, as it is called, is based in the philosophy of web design called Web 2.0. And what Web 2.0 is, in essence, is a shift in the focus of the World Wide Web as a whole from presentation to participation. The original version of the web In the original version of the web was composed of web pages and websites, and the idea is that you, as the web user, would be a browser, and in fact, that's the name of the tool that you used. It was a web browser, and you would go from site to site to site, and you would read the contents of those websites. But what has happened in Web 2.0, thanks to a number of technical advances that were made, is that it became possible to design the structure of websites such that the contents of the website was created not by the producer of the website, but rather by the consumer of the website. we got this phenomenon that they called the prosumer, the person who is both the producer of the content and the consumer of the content. The first and early instantiation of that was the weblog, where the person who normally would be a reader of a website instead turns around and becomes the creator of a website. They create their own weblogs, and people read each other's weblogs instead of reading, say, the New York Times or the Washington Post. And we also see things like Wikipedia, where the readers of the encyclopedia are also the people who write the encyclopedia. And so they read each other's pages in the encyclopedia rather than going to a produced encyclopedia like Britannica. And I find it very interesting that it was less than 2 weeks ago, Encyclopedia Britannica, in a very low-key sort of way, said that we, Britannica, are no longer going to be solely in charge of producing our content. We are going to outsource our content to the readers, and we, Britannica, want you, the readers, to start writing our content for us, which was all code from Britannica for "we surrender." The age of the prosumer-driven encyclopedia is genuinely here. I never did remove that bracket from the word example. Taking the idea of Web 2.0 and applying it to learning design. It's not in my house. That's okay. My phone's going to ring too. I just got a phone a few days ago, and it is not turned off because I am expecting a call. So if I stop and take a call, sorry, but you can do it. I can do it. If you think about the concept of Web 2.0 as applied to learning design, we can have some iterations, some steps toward that process. The first iteration, and as I recall, there's a talk that will be based on this. I don't see it on my schedule just offhand, but I did notice it when I was looking at it earlier. The idea here is that instead of the teacher defining the learning design ahead of time and then applying it to the students, the idea is that the teacher can put the lambs on the computer screen and the computer screen up on the monitor and then lead the class through a discussion of how that learning design should happen, what that design should look like. And so we have a very first sort of iteration where the students are involved in the design of their own learning, although it's of course a mediated discussion, and of course the teacher is the person with his or her hands on the computer and therefore is the final arbiter of value. But we can take that a step further in this Web 2.0 world, and this takes us beyond what LAMS is currently able to do. The idea here is that the students, 10 of them, 20 of them, however many, could all have access to the same learning design space, could all have access to that design area in learning design, and could co-create a learning design of some sort. There is plenty of precedent for this. That's not the one I wanted. I've destroyed the one I wanted. Oh, there it is. This is really hard to do with a whole bunch of people watching. So what I'm taking you to here is a site called Gliffy. And how many of you are familiar with Gliffy? Two. It's unfortunately the screen, because of the constraints of the monitor, the screen is kind of small. But basically, what Gliffy allows you to do is to create designs. So I'm just trying to find. A way to get into it is very hard to navigate because it feels like I have a quarter of a screen here, and in fact I do have a quarter of a screen here, but you just log into it and then we wait, and then it tries to get me to upgrade because it is a commercial application, and let's just try a new document. So I'll call my document Cadiz. Oops, pardon? I've run out of free ones, that figures. Okay, so, for crying out loud. And I can't see anything. There we go. I have no idea what this document will look like. Oh, really bad, okay. This is so hard to show you in such a small space. But actually you have about the same view I do. So there we go, that might help. But the idea here is I can just drag and drop things. If I want a flow chart, here's my flow chart. Does this look familiar to those of you who use LAMS? Now, I can't actually do a whole lot with this thing, but close, go away. I can do entity relationship type diagrams. So here's my link from one thing to another thing. I can create user interfaces. I can upload images. I can do a search of an image. I can do a network diagram. So I have lots of nice. Now the idea, what's really interesting about Gliffy is like the way we're seeing it now, this is just me working all by myself, but this application is entirely web-based. And what that means is that the only thing that I need on my side of things to access this application is a web browser. All of the processing happens at the other end. All of the processing happens at the server side. The interface between me and this, well, in this particular case, it's Flash. So what's putting all the squares and the lines and that is just a Flash application. I can be editing this, and then at the same time, somebody else who is sharing, now it's not going to do anything for me here, but normally something would happen if I tried to share this, but at the same time, I can share this diagram with other people such that I have this diagram in my screen, they have the very same diagram in their screen. When I make a change here, they see it there. When they make a change there, I see it here. And this is a characteristic that's common of Web 2.0 applications, this idea of co-creation. There's another application out called Google Docs, and which won't prompt me to pay them money yet. I'm sure it will. Yes, I want to navigate away from this page. Wouldn't have clicked on a URL if I would. Come on. There we go. Silly thing. I hate it when they ask me if I really meant to do something that I very obviously meant to do. I would not type an address and hit enter if I didn't want any help. So here we go. This is Google Documents, and where are my objects? owned by me. No items. Why is that? Well, that's mysterious. There really were documents there not so long ago. That's why I have a different account. I really hate this business of signing in and signing out and signing in and signing out. It's not part of the talk, but one of the things that is coming to both Web 2.0 and also to learning management and therefore to learning design is single sign-on. And by single sign-on, I don't mean the artifact that they call single sign-on on university campuses such as Shibboleth or whatever, but I mean single sign-on in a true, genuine sense where you have one ID and that ID is used here and here and here and here. It's used on Google, on Yahoo, on your university accounts, on Blogger, on your personal page, wherever. Right now, that single sign-on is under the heading of OpenID. And sooner rather than later, everybody will have their own OpenID. And this is being slow, so I'll come back to here. And I won't have to mess around with this single sign-on. But anyhow, here is a document. And it's just an ordinary article, but what's happening here is I'm authoring this with two other people, Daniel Lemire and Seb Paquette. And again, the three of us are working on a single document in a single space. It's just like a Microsoft Word document, except we don't have to send the document around. There's none of this silliness of highlighting changes with colored text and keeping track of, well, is this today's version of the document or yesterday's version of the document? The document is whatever we happen to create here inside this space. And if I make a change to this document, Daniel Lemire will see it right away. And if he's actually online, he'll actually see the typing appear on his screen. And there are hundreds, indeed thousands, of applications that allow people to co-create content in that way. And so we can see the web moving toward Web 2.0, and we can see things like design become something that is created collaboratively by the people who will be impacted by that design. How am I doing on time? 20? Okay, so I'm about halfway. Okay, 80 more slides to go. I'm kidding. Fundamentally, what's happening here and what will be a really significant shift in the concept of learning management and learning design is that of perception and that of ownership. Right now, the idea, the perspective, or the idea of ownership is that the teacher creates, the students consume. That is the Web 1.0 way of doing things. Where we are shifting, moving toward, is a perspective and an ownership where the students create and the students consume. And the role of the teacher becomes something very different. The role of the teacher changes from that of a provider to that of a facilitator, from that of an authority to that of a resource. This changes the dynamics considerably. I've talked a little bit about how learning management already supports groups, but the way the groups are structured as classes in a university class. And what happens here is when you have learning design and learning management that is institutionally based and instructor driven, you have a creation of community that resembles what I would call a group as opposed to a network. Now, what do I mean by this? The characteristics of the cooperation are different when you have a group as opposed to a network. A group is something that is formed or created through some deliberate process, some process of group formation. A network, rather, is something that happens or emerges through a process of individual activities. A group will tend to be closed. A group will have a very clear definition of members and non-members. If you think of a university class, you're either in the class or you're not in the class. You have to sign up for the class. If you do not sign up for the class, you're not even allowed in the room. This organization that we have here is more of a group in that sense. In a network, There is no closed group formation. A network, the membership is open. You come in, you leave, it's up to you. In a group, there is this, I don't want to call it a wall or a barrier, because it's very often virtual or conceptual, but there is this way of defining the group. In the network, there is no clear definition of what the network looks like. The network is defined completely and solely through the connections of the individual members. Groups foster sameness, and we were discussing last night, and there was this is a point that came up over and over again, the idea of there being a shared decision, a shared understanding, a shared goal, a shared set of values even. The idea is that groups must reach some sort of agreement in some way. But in a network, there's no requirement of agreement. There's no requirement that everybody have the same objectives, that everybody have the same goals or anything like that. Again, in a network, the idea is that people have diverse interests, they have diverse goals, and insofar as there is something that we could call shared, it is a consequence of the collection of individual decisions rather than the creation of a group decision. The dynamics are very different. This shows up